Bhujang Prabhu and myself want to now answer your questions. Could I ask you to bring the blue pot? The pot itself. There's no snake inside, no? You know, there are these stories about the test and put your hand in a clay pot with a snake, and then we know when it doesn't bite you, you spoke the truth. Oh, he's a liar. He died. such stories. In medieval Europe, there's a lot of this. There was a lot of this going on. Good. This is not interesting. I think Bhujang Prabhu has already picked a question. Please, Bhujang Prabhu.
It's two questions, not only one. When I'm sick or tired, the best of kirtan or katha doesn't attract me. Does it mean I am not Krishna conscious? That's question one. And the answer is, of course, yes and no. Because the yes part, does it mean I am not Krishna conscious, means that our Krishna consciousness is not of the deepest kind. But don't fear and don't worry. Our life is meant to deepen our Krishna consciousness. And of course, someone who's so concerned about desiring to hear about Krishna and desiring to develop their taste for the holy names, they are very much Krishna conscious also. So that's the yes part. So deepen. And because when we're sick or tired, that means the consciousness, I don't get any, not even one. I need a candy. Oh, thank you. Two in one, rather. And then this is what life is meant for, to deepen our Krishna consciousness. So, what does it mean when we're sick or tired? The consciousness, the mind goes into tamagun, the mode of ignorance. And when the consciousness is in the mode of ignorance, or in the mode of passion, the Krishna katha, the kirtan, doesn't even enter our ears, what to speak of, enter our mind and heart. So, what's it going to be like at the moment of death? When the mind is so disturbed, the life airs are all unbalanced, and everything, and there's pain all over the body. It is said in Shastra that the experience of death, or the experience of the soul leaving the body, is compared to being bitten by 100 scorpions. Has anyone ever been bitten by a scorpion? A bee? A wasp? Yeah. It's not fun, is it? Well, 100 scorpions. So it's very hard to be attracted to the holy name of Krishna. And it's very hard in such a difficult time to be attracted to Krishna Katha. But yet, this is the great challenge of life. Ante Narayana Smriti. So we want to make our Krishna consciousness so deep that it is the great attraction, the great shelter. Krishna is the great attraction and the great shelter to the very core of who we are, the very core of our existence. So this is our goal. Hope that's all right.
Here's another question. We read in Shastra, Yat Karoshi Yat Ashnasi, etc. Whatever you do, offer it to Krishna. How can we apply this practically in our normal daily life? The practical application comes in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, where there is a verse
which ends with Narayana Yeti Samapayet Tvam. The verse says, Kayena Vacha, whatever I have spoken, Manasa, etc., what I have thought with my mind, what I have planned with my intelligence, what I have acted with my senses, I offer this to you, O my Lord. And it's interesting, it says, whatever I have done according to my conditioned nature. In other words, it speaks really about the things which we do as we are embodied souls. It is offered. Now, you might... Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur goes into a detail. He says, just like a materialist offers, gets up and brushes his teeth in the morning and does hygienic activities, a devotee also brushes his teeth and does hygienic activities, but he offers that to Krishna. The devotee brushes his teeth for Krishna. So this might be a new concept, because it really stretches the whatever you do, even to the bathroom. It includes these activities. And you might ask, is this really bhakti? And an answer to this question is this really bhakti, or can it really be offered, is given by Lord Brahma in the Brahma Samhita at the end, where he speaks of two types of bhakti. One type of bhakti is that which is indirect, and the other is the direct bhakti. It's called Gona and Mukhya bhakti. The indirect forms are things which support you, which support you in your life. For instance, sleeping is definitely not done, is not connected with Krishna. But if you sleep in a way that you don't fall asleep in the classes, then even your sleep is connected with Krishna, and therefore becomes holy sleep, or let us say sanctified sleep. Your eating, everything can be done as a support. You should take care of your sadhan sharira, the material body and mind are vehicles for spiritual practice. And in this way, even this taking care, which is not exceeding the actual needs of body and mind, is very necessary. I personally think our movement suffers, amongst many things, from premature transcendentalism. We hear so much about the examples of Raghunath Das Goswami, for instance, that we may attempt also to sleep only 45 minutes, or times two. He slept 90 minutes each day, 1.5 hours. But if we don't take care of our tree of life, our body and so on, we will become really disturbed and unable to render any service. So it is better to understand where is our qualification, our adhikar, and render live our life according to this qualification. And if you do that, Krishna says, this is piety, this is good. Something else he says is bad. That is to do this premature transcendentalism thing, which we are world famous for. Young Bhakta speaking about the highest esoteric truths, devotees who are emotionally and physically starved and always quarrel and don't know where their place in life is, and create a lot of difficulties from this. Better to understand, here is my present level, From here I have to go. Hic rotus, hic saltos. It's Latin. And then connect that present level to Krishna. And in this way, whatever you do is an offering to Krishna. I was so happy. We had one person in the congregation. It was an opera singer. And she was female. And she had been attacked once when she parked her car before the opera by some low-class people. It was a traumatic experience for her. It was a very bad thing. And then I met her half a year later after this violent attack on her dignity. And she beamed. And I said, why are you so happy? I thought you would be traumatized for a little. She said, no, now I'm doing Taekwondo for Krishna. That's a form of self-defense. Because I cannot, this body belongs to Krishna, this voice belongs to Krishna, and I have to protect it, to render devotional service. This is, of course, indirect devotional service. You cannot stop there and stagnate there. Okay, from morning till evening I take care of my body and my life. Then you lead material life. But if you do it so that you can, with the aim to serve Krishna, then it is a very, then it becomes spiritualized in some ways. Everything. Prabhupada went so far that he says even the atom bomb, this is maybe something we don't want to do immediately, can be used in Krishna's service. The typewriter can be used, and by its usage to type Krishna conscious literature, let's stay with the typewriter, it becomes a spiritualized. This whole, Prabhupada gave us this vision, this whole world is Krishna's energy and should be engaged in the service of the energetic. And in this way, yes, the connection is there. Hare Krishna.
This one was more for you, something that you spoke about. Someone questioned, if I feel strong love for Krishna in my heart and mind, how important is it to perfectly follow all the rules and rituals, or rules and regulations? So, sometimes, an interesting question by a pious person, sometimes the affection that we feel for Krishna isn't the soul's true affection for Krishna. It is actually coming from just the mind. And if it's coming from the mind, sometimes we're going to feel affection for Krishna and attraction for Krishna, and sometimes we're not. So, strong love for Krishna is so extraordinary, actually. It is so wonderful. A person who feels an attraction to Krishna, even though it may not be coming from the deepest level of the soul of themselves, but yet that is very, very fortunate. But to make that stronger and to deepen it, to bring it to the level of the actual soul, the person, the actual person love for Krishna, then the rules and regulations, they are to be followed. Nityasidasya bhavasya prakattam riddhi sadhyata, because the purpose of the rules and regulations is to bring about this love for Krishna. Now, interestingly enough, there's in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Adi Lila, there is an exchange spoken with one devotee says to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you have so much love for Krishna. And his reply is, Nasti Gandhi, I don't even have, not even the substance of love for Krishna, but even the fragrance of that substance doesn't visit my heart. But then the question is, but I see you all the time. You're fully engaged in Krishna's service. And not only that, you're crying all the time. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And tears are streaming down your eyes. How is it possible that you don't have love for Krishna? And Mahaprabhu said, no, that is just an imitation. Sometimes Prabhupada described it like that. And this is, I'm just expressing my feeling of my fortune. He sometimes expressed it like that. But then he said, then Mahaprabhu actually said something very, very deep. And that explained why Mahaprabhu said that I don't have any love for Krishna. And that very deep comment of his gives us a hint of what love for Krishna actually is and how all-consuming it is. And Mahaprabhu said, I don't have love for Krishna because if I actually had love for Krishna and Krishna was not in my presence, how could I remain alive? How could I remain alive? This is love for Krishna. Without Krishna being near me, without me being able to serve him, yugayutam nameshena chakshusha sprayasayitam sunya, the world appears empty, void. Tears are streaming down my face, my cheeks like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant in the world in the absence of you. So this is the degree of love for Krishna that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was benedicting the universe for. And this is the degree of love for Krishna that is permeates. It is throughout the land of Vrindavan. So yes, to deepen our love for Krishna, our mind's attraction and sentiment for Krishna, that which is so fortunate. I heard Prabhupada this morning say in a lecture, he said, if you ask people in the West, do you know who Krishna is? They will, almost every one of them will say no. So to know who Krishna is fortunate. To feel strong attachment to him is fortunate. And to be so desirous of deepening our attachment to that we follow all the rules and regulations is extremely fortunate. And that will bring its fruit one day of love for Krishna. Good question. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Extremely grateful to all the teachers for the wonderful classes. Question. To stay enthusiastic in one's sadhana, should one always look for different udipanas? Particularly in my experience, after some time, a particular udipan does not serve as a strong stimuli as it initially was. What if one cannot find a strong udipan? To answer your question directly, go into the association of good devotees. There, in that association... sorry, uncultured.
That's the most unique sneeze I've ever heard.
It was a sneeze mixed with a smile.
Of course, it must be. Could you sneeze Sukhsari also?
Krishna. This is about something else than sneezing. Let me answer very clearly. Udipans are those things which stimulate or awaken your love for Krishna. I would like to give a few examples so that we are again connected. Here's one from a song, Shri Madhurashtakam. The Lord's deeds are sweet. His acts of deliverance are sweet. His stealing is sweet. His amorous play is sweet. His yawning is sweet. You know, when the Lord yawns, the moonlight reflects from his pearl-like teeth and beams or rays spread through his sleeping room, which are seen by the parrots as landing places, and they repeatedly start to want to land on these moonbeams, thinking them they are landing sticks, but that time Krishna smiles. But here it says his yawning is sweet and even his chastisements are sweet. Everything is sweet about the original Lord of sweetness. And then so many Udipans are mentioned. Gopas, cows, his cowherding stick, and his act of creation. Everything is sweet about the Lord of sweetness. So in our lecture we were saying that since we are so much surrounded by external stimuli and respond to it, it's good if you look for spiritual stimuli, which are called in Sanskrit Udipans, and because they can awaken your Krishna consciousness and love for Krishna. Having said this, I would like to say that a very, very good way to become enlivened, and I think that's the essence of your question. You want to become enthusiastic and stay that way, is really the association of devotees. And I would like to encourage you, as you leave the Govardhan retreat, to practically find association of devotees, either in your home time or through your telephone, which you regularly consult. You will see there is very, very quick nourishment there. Maybe you might like to do what happens in many pockets of our international society. Pockets means secluded quarters. Devotees build groups in which they go together through life and discuss spiritual things. You will see everything becomes easier when the enthusiasm is reflected from the hearts of devotees and comes to you. And devotees become enthusiastic as they share Krishna consciousness amongst themselves. You can go about picking different Udipans which work for you. And this is a good advice and might help you in your daily life, and you can change between different Udipans. According to your purity, you will need that even, because someone who's not yet so pure cannot yet contact the deepest essence of an Udipan. A lot gets filtered out, just like in an impure wire, the electricity can't flow so well. So when you become less enthusiastic, look at another picture of the Yamuna than the picture you looked for 10 years on. Change it. But for your immediate question, I would really like to say two things. Build little groups amongst the devotees, inspirational groups, contacts where you open yourself. And this is something for you now to please listen. Place a strong candle in your life, which burns there. It is Srila Prabhupada. Really, when you go through life and you ask yourself the question, what decision would now better please Prabhupada? You have an orientation all of a sudden, which helps you to do the next steps. It's almost like Krishna explains to Uddhava, when a wanderer in the night sees a fire, as he approaches the fire, his path becomes clear and he becomes warm. So in the same way, if you have the strong fire of a pure devotee whom you approach in the darkness of the material life, then you will see your path more clearer and you will feel the warmth of Krishna consciousness, which certainly has that enthusiastic tingle which tells you impossible is a word which doesn't apply to you. Hare Krishna. I really believe in this very strongly from personal experience. Whenever I turn to Prabhupada and just ask, what would be his perspective in this life situation? I approach the fire in the darkness of my uncertainty and see what are the next steps. And it always works. It always works. It never fails. So two things. Association amongst peers and in some way connecting with Srila Prabhupada will give you that enlivening direction you look for in your life. Please try. A very good way is to do what many older devotees do. This is one of the secrets of Puri Jam Prabhu. He listens to lectures regularly. He has little recording devices and they can be very loud if need be, and a good sound lecture is there, and then one can muse about what one has heard and immediately feels inspired and directed. Hare Krishna.